حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا وأنمي مالي بزكاتي أطهره برضا الله وصلاة وزكاة.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى وصحبه ومن سن بسنته ودعا بدعوته لا يوم يبعثون. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we are once again thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After thanking him, we send the peace and salutation to the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his entire companions and the families and the people who are following this path until the day of judgment. Alhamdulillah, we return back to our usual sitting, talk on Islam or talk about Islam. Alhamdulillah, I have our two prominent scholars, Sheikh Muhammad Jallo, Sheikh Hamme Jete. I'll say assalamu alaikum to them first. Alhamdulillah, greater honorable scholars, if we recall our last program, we have been dealing with a very difficult subject. But no matter how difficult it is, to address them to allow us to have a greater light in ahead of us. Any difficult things, we all remember in the eye of the Quran, innamal usri yusra. So in that point, that's why the scholars could not really take a rest. They will always go and really speak to people to try to fulfill their duties. In that, two of you are with me last week, we dealt with what we call, I call it the new schools and the old school. Both sides, we have immense positiveness on the both side, but we tend to have what he call some hiccup in the both side, is what we call small understanding, because the past, the great scholars never see this as negative. They look at what he called the different divergent views, which has never caused any problem for them. But alhamdulillah, that was dealt in the very, very much professional manners in the last week. I appreciate it. And then the greater listeners too do appreciate how it was dealt. But in the common, I did promise the listeners, when we return here, by the Allah willing, we will deal with another issues, which we cannot put our head on the sand. It does not exist or it's not happening. We see again, imagine again a negative picture of trying to depict Islam. Unfortunately, some of these things have been done by the Muslims. And then the Muslims are the one half in their sacred books. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us here to be a caliph. If you are given a responsibility of place, you are not told to destroy it. You are told to maintain it according to what gave it to you, in order to retain it as what he expected from you. If that is the case, Sheikh Muhammad, Sheikh Hammeger, tonight I want us to deal what we call national security, because it cannot be ibadah without to be secure. Otherwise, if there is no security, we will not be talking here. We will be somewhere else. I want us to address the national security on the Islamic perspective, because when we are sitting here, it's the perspective, understanding, and the view of Islam. And then the view of Islam is not narrow, it's very comprehensive. Every single view, Islam, the view of Islam should, what you call, refine it and make it acceptable and workable. In my first question, Sheikh Muhammad, let's make a ball rolling, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Ikhwati wa akhwati fillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you.
So, as you have just said, Sheikh Bashir, this topic actually, security, national security. See, we have to look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is water emulating to everything, and that of his noble sahabs, sahabas, the caliphs, his companions, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. You see, security is very, very important. This is because without security, nobody will be able to live in peace. Each and every person. This is because even the Sharia has come up with what they call the Daruriyatul Khams or the Kulliyatul Khams. And these principles, major principles of this deen, is to preserve one's soul. And preserving one's soul is one of the Daruriyatul Khams. So, preserving one's soul, the security. Security.
Yes. The soul must be protected first. Yes,
must be protected.
Okay.
So that's the security.
Okay.
So, you see, the Quran has dilated a lot of chapters, a lot of verses, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in a very short chapter, I think in Surah Quraysh, said, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ila fi Quraysh, ila fihim. Rihlat ash-shita'i was-sayf." Because these Arabs are traders. They move from one point to another. They go to Yemen one time, and another time they go to another area, to Sham. So, it could be in the summer and in the winter. Rihlat ash-shita'i was-sayf. "Falyabudu rabb hadha al-bayt." Alladhi at'amahum min ju'. At'amahum min ju'. For security is, people are, mashallah, they have something to eat.
Nutrition, yes. Should be secure.
And then, wa'amanahum min khawf. And secure them from fear. Secure them from fear. Because now people can move from one point to another.
Without fear.
Without any problem.
Okay.
It's safe and secured. Otherwise, you can't move from this place to another place. Even if you are not with anything and you go back, you go safely, possibly and come safely. So when you are having anything, a bag or whatever, you can't go safely or come safely. Because we are seeing that in so many areas. So security is very, very important. That's why you see Ibn Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you go down to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, who used to go out during the night as a caliph. He goes out to know how the people whom you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him of Yawm al Qiyamah. Because they said, according to the hadith, everyone is a shepherd.
Okay.
So he's going to be asked. He's the caliph, he's the Amirul Mu'mineen, he's in charge of every person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question him tomorrow. So about the people, about his people. He used to go around. There was a day, one night when he was going out, he passed by a house and he heard some kids crying. Allahu Akbar, kids are crying. And when he found out that, they were hungry. The kids were hungry. He went home together with his maid or servant, Aslam. They came, he was carrying the food. He cooked
for them.
You see, and people were seeing the smoke moving all over his face and through his beard while he was cooking. And then he had to, this food prepared was given to the children to eat. So this also one form of security, because he was moving to see and to learn how his people were living. And then to solve problems. The problems of his people. So, security, we all know, is a business of everyone. Not only those who are trained to be security men or work officers, but everybody, every person, is the role of everybody. We cannot all be or put on the uniform to do that work.
Okay.
But some of us, or all of us, can, is a national security. We should all contribute. That's by sometime reporting some of the cases that are happening. As some people are reporting the case of drug and etc. See. But, you know, we always witness that there are some training for people on how to handle possibly possibly how to handle some other cases, mm-hmm. in the case of Darfur and mm-hmm. other places, peace missions, you know, mm-hmm. peace
okay.
missions.
Yes, okay.
It's very important.
Yes,
peace. You see, uh-huh. and people are also trained, maybe given some packages or some modules mm-hmm. on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
mm-hmm.
and also the deen should not also be exempted
from it,
because when somebody is being trained to take care of terrorism,
mm-hmm.
he has to know something about the deen, not mm. only Islam, but all the deen. You see, comparative religion, this will also help them.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
mm-hmm.
because this will lead, because as the Prophet ﷺ used to train his people,
mm-hmm.
his men,
mm-hmm.
he used to tell them that they have to fear Allah subhanahu mm-hmm. wa ta'ala mm-hmm. in carrying out their duties.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the work of every person,
mm-hmm.
every citizen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see,
mm-hmm.
so when we look at all this,
mm-hmm.
we'll know the importance
mm-hmm.
of security.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, as you said, without security, you and I will not be here.
Absolutely not.
Without security, we all know in other countries, for example, people mm-hmm. will not move freely.
No.
And without security, there are a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And even being somebody who is serving or somebody who is the security man, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What they are doing is also ibadah, as you are saying, provided they are doing it
mm-hmm.
with the intention, the clear intention to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm. they will be rewarded, even though they are paid.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do it with sincerity for the sake of Allah, and they know that what they are doing is in accordance with the teachings of the Sharia,
mm-hmm.
you see, even when people are performing the prayers, how important the security is,
mm-hmm.
you find people standing by the imam or standing elsewhere, paying attention. This because of security. We all see, even through the TVs, even in Saudi Arabia, when the Salat is being performed,
mm-hmm.
either in the Holy Mosque,
mm-hmm. yes,
we see the security.
Standing,
yes, of course. You see, so this is because, and even with the presidents,
mm-hmm.
we see the security. They do their work.
So
this is all ibadah.
So this was been permitted by Sharia.
Yes, it's permitted by the Sharia.
So to maintain peace and order.
Of course. This is why you see, even in the Holy Quran, walakum fil hay, I don't know, walakum fil kisas hayatu ya ulil albab. This is also a form of security.
Mm.
Because if one kills unjustly and he is left safely,
anybody
he will continue killing others.
Yeah.
Okay. He will finish a family. He will finish a society.
Okay.
So it's the security that makes that.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody kills unjustly and he is killed,
mm-hmm.
then the others are safe.
Yes.
And that's why the Quran said, "Walakum fil qisas hayatun ya ulil albab." This is all because of security. So security is the first and last to every society. The whole, if we look at the history of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we look at the history of the Sahabas up to this day, wherever all these things we are seeing is just a copy. It's an emulation of what was happening during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the training. The Prophet was doing the necessary training for his men.
Okay.
And the first thing is the taqwa Allah. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's the first training they need you.
Like people like Khalid ibn Walid, as young as 18 years, given the commandship to be a commander in the army. So many other things. This is all form of security. Because if there is no security, you cannot be, the imam will not be safe in the mosque.
No.
The ma'mum will not be safe in the mosque.
No.
The priest or so will not be safe in the church.
No.
So nobody will be safe.
Neither so, hospitals
so,
and so.
You see, so that's why the security.
It is paramount.
It is paramount. So Islam has not left any stone unturned.
On that
subject. Has explained these things very clearly. So that's why the security must be there. But it's left to the security also, or those who are doing that security, to know the deen. And to know what Islam has preached
about
towards that thing.
Okay.
So that we don't only get other ideas from others whom you know are just
violating another things, security.
But since you don't have the deen, the knowledge of the deen, you don't have the knowledge of the deen, it will be inadequate for you to do the work properly. Because in terms of enemies, it is the right of each and every person to defend. Not so. Especially the servicemen.
Okay.
No, sir.
That's right.
So people should do that work justly, with all sincerity, for the sake of Allah, in order to receive the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see, because of that security, Islam has rejected and pronounced haram and among the major sins running from the battle. What tawalli yawm az-zahf. This is because of security.
Okay. You see, if everybody run away, we will not be safe anymore.
You see, except with the permission of the commander. When he sees that retreating is
tactic, that's what they call tactic.
You see, but running away just because of
cowardness.
You see, cowardness, this one is against the principles of security. So you see, so that's why I say we can get a lot of evidences from the Quran, from the Hadith,
about the
and from what happened from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the Sahabas. And then coming to the Tabi'in. All these people, we have examples of people whom you know we are with tight security. Tight security. This is because Islam doesn't want anything that will bring fitna.
Okay.
Because the fitna affliction is opposite
of the peace. Okay.
Yes, of the peace. So anything that will bring problem.
So you stop it.
Islam don't like it at all.
Okay.
Because of that, even the Amru al Ma'ruf, Amru bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar. If you think forbidding this particular evil or sin, asking people to stop it will generate or will the outcome will be
greater fitna,
then you have to stop it.
Not to say it.
Because when you say it, you're going to bring the worst.
So
you are trying to stop something with 10% degree and now you end up having 100%.
So Allah tend to really compromise the rules in there for the greater peace.
Yes, of course.
Even though what you are seeing is not appropriate, it's not acceptable, but you are told to delay it in allowing the peace to the best time to act.
Yes.
Subhanallah.
So these are all in the Sharia.
Okay.
So you can do Amru al Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar, but you should not, you have to say the Amru al Ma'ruf. Other people, counsel people, when you know it will work. If you know that there will be a, the side effect will be bad.
Okay.
By advising at that moment, you have to stop.
And
you allow that evil running for that time. This is because of national security.
Okay.
Because without it, there will be a lot of problems.
It is.
So these are some of the things I could remember as at now. Maybe Sheikh. JT will have orders.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Muhammad, for that starting. Sheikh Hamid, I think I'm getting feeling tonight will be very interesting.
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes.
You may proceed, inshallah.
Rasul al-Rahman al-Ladhi ba'azahu Allah rahmatan lil alameen. Good evening, everybody out there. Well, we send the Islamic graceful, beautiful greetings to you. Assalamu alaikum, and we pray and solicit the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his great prophet and upon his companions, his household, and upon anybody who follows, I mean, in their footsteps to the day of resurrection. Actually, we're not prioritizing, I mean, the questions, but I think my brother Sheikh Bashir has raised a highly relevant, a very significant question, which is relevant to the current situation that is prevailing in our community. And I think my brother has, well, greatly and enormously explained, I mean, very clearly, some of the aspects of this very important factor in the continuation of existence on this earth. And I mean, it is a precondition. It is a precondition, because even the name Islam, I mean, signifies, it has an indication or an importation of peace, tranquility, authority, power, with your creator, with yourself, with any other creature, and generally with the whole world.
Okay.
So it is Islam is a religion that builds that harmonious bridge between an individual and the group. My brother said it well, and that I think that's the end of it, and that's the most convincing answer one can give. You see, ad-daruriyatul khamsa, you know, the five necessities, I mean, for the cause or the protection of which Islam or any other deen, in fact, even human, pure human culture, is there to protect these five important social pillars. Well, okay. When we say, as he said, he mentioned one there by way of giving an example for the importance of life, or he calls it the soul. When we see the soul or the life, we come to the mind, the body, the property, the integrity. You know, we have five major
pillars
that existence can never be continued, can never be enjoyed until and unless these five pillars are properly protected.
So this is what they call it. This is what they call Maqasidu Sharia.
Maqasidu Sharia, these are the five major, in fact, in every human endeavor.
Okay.
In every human thought. These are the five major objectives that every human, I mean, dispensation, structure, organization, religion is there to protect.
Okay.
Because it is interrelated. The breakage of one or the detachment of one from the chain actually brings the entire edifice to a complete
collapse.
So for that matter, this is why even Islam itself, if there is no harmony, no peace, no tranquility between the individual, in fact the person who profess the deen, with himself, that person is not, can be called a Muslim. But he lacks a very important ingredient that would relay him harmoniously to his creator, Allah.
Okay.
This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, those who believe and their iman, and look at it, their iman is not diluted by transgression, by injustice. Those ones are qualified and entitled to my protection. الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم. Here, ظلم means either transgression, transgressing against
themselves.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is one, is unique in everything, in every attribute that he has. But you tend to create new names, new attributes, new qualities for him that he actually never, ever, you know, calls himself with those things.
Okay.
This is one. Or you transgress against your brother, violating his right, his human rights.
Okay,
here we have transgression. If these things are absent in this dispensation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my protection, you the guy doing that, you qualify to get my shield of protection. But on condition, you are steadfast, wa hum muhtadun. You are steadfast and continue in following the righteous path. You don't deviate.
Okay.
So here we have Iman and Islam. Islam is security. As you say, national security.
Okay.
And we have Iman. Well, let's take Islam as the external aspect of Iman.
Okay.
And this is the fact. When we say Al Iman, it is that security, that tranquility, that solace, that power, that authority that is well entrenched in your mind. This is why when you have an undiluted iman, like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, if you are fired by an atomic bomb, you would never care. Because you know that, I mean, the person or the being in control of that atomic bomb is your creator. Because there is a solace, there is a connection, a harmony, a protective shield. Covering you, concealing you against the conspiracies of time and space, including man himself. So, or the vicissitudes of time. So when we come to this point, when we say Iman, in fact simply Iman means, you know, the maintenance of internal peace, tranquility, security.
Aman.
To allow or to give room for the continuation. Peaceful and steady continuation of the progression of man in the execution of his mission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his services. I mean, on this earth. But when we say security, it is, I mean, putting in place all the necessary structures, the paraphernalia, the tools, the machines, psychologically, mentally, physically, that man will feel that he is secured, that his rights are protected.
Okay.
They will never be violated. These are the rights that my brother actually strongly mentioned when he started his dilation on the topic. It is the five necessities that deen, every good culture has come to maintain, to protect, and to see that it is properly enjoyed, but subjected to limitations.
Okay.
Where my rights started is where my responsibilities as well started. And where my rights end is where somebody else's rights started.
In that point.
So no collusion. No violation.
Okay.
So okay. But you mentioned something very interesting, that's national security.
Okay.
When we look at it, national security, well, it is an English language.
Wait,
it has an importation, a connotation rather than, I mean, just national security.
Yes.
Because in Islam, we don't have nationalism.
Yes.
That's why my brother really put it very right.
Yes.
He said security in a broader sense.
Okay.
By bringing the five very important pillars of social existence. Because in Islam, in fact, nationalism leads to extremism. And that extremism leads to ignorance. And that ignorance is an abhorrent in Islam. It's hateful in Islam.
Okay.
Because we don't have to. In fact, one of the major causes of the decline of Arabic civilization is their blind embracement or embracing of something that has no existence, even in imagination.
You mean the
that
alien
nationalism?
Ah, okay.
Nationalism is an exclusion of others, and wherever there is an exclusion, there is a sense of superiority. When there is a sense of superiority, there exists an inferiority, and when man looks at himself as superior, the other as inferior, I mean, the gap is filled with injustice. This is the reality.
Okay.
Well, as we say, national security. Let's say the security of the ummah.
Okay.
The community.
All right.
Because when I say national security, a regime like that of an apartheid system then, or the Zionist system in Palestine, would tell me that, okay, it is my national security to kill Africans and to kill the Arabs, in fact, to preserve the existence of apartheid or the existence of the
Zionist.
Fascist, racist Zionist entity.
I'm getting your point.
We get a subjective meaning attached to something called national security. But we have something called, as my brother rightly quoted in Surah Al-Quraysh, Alladhi at'amahum. Whom in Arabic, it is a pronoun.
Okay.
But whom, it is a pronoun. What we call it, a pronoun of plurality. But the plurality is not here. It is in the invisible time frame. It's not yet here.
That's
or
right.
Even if it is here, you're not directly talking to them.
Okay.
Or what I call, Alladhi amanahum, whom, them. When the Quran was being revealed to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says them. That was the Quraysh Meccans. But it is as valid with us as it was very much valid with them. Because when it was being revealed, we were not there.
That's right.
And we are in that group called whom.
Okay.
So you see the collectivity, the humanity, the oneness, the unity of faith, brotherhood of Islam. So when we say nationality, national security, in fact, it is a term that came into existence. Unfortunately, even our so-called highly intellectual political scientists who have been imbued with so much of that Western toxin called political science.
Very toxic.
Can't just escape the grip of the devil. There is nothing called nationalism. There is nothing called a national state. there is a state, a good or a wicked, a good or a bad, a righteous or a just state, or an evil state. This is the attribute definition that is given. So for that matter, let's come to the point.
Okay.
When we say security from a religious perspective, we're talking about your existence, true existence in a peaceful state of mind.
Okay.
Spirit, body, heart, mind, with your creator,
okay,
with your fellow man, with the environment,
you live
and it. Eventually you are moving harmoniously, positively, progressively, elevatingly with the entire universe. In fact, the five daruriyat, I'll come to them. My brother said it rightly. When we count from Noah to Moses, we have six generations.
Okay.
And each generation was destroyed as a result of a sin accumulated until to a point there is no respite for them anymore. They have lost the time given to them. They have forfeited the humanity given to them. They have completely lost what is called social living. They had to go.
Okay.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to annihilate them, had to destroy them completely. But when you count these generations, it gives you six generations. But Deen came, Islam is here to protect five major necessities. Where is the sixth one?
Okay. Why?
The sixth one is that collective humanity that we share.
Okay.
This is why anybody any system that exists, I mean, for a purpose simply to destroy that common humanity, in no matter what color, what name, what hues and color it has given itself, it is as evil as the devil. Because there is something called a common humanity, which every religion, every good culture is here to protect.
Okay.
Because if there is no collective humanity, then there wouldn't be any existence on this
world. Would be a chaos.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his infinite wisdom, when he said, "Inni khaliqun basharan," one. But one person cannot exist, I mean, happily.
No.
Wa khalaqa minha zawjaha, a pair.
Okay.
وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا from the pair رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا many men وَنِسَاءَ many women. Here is the human community.
Okay.
Anybody destroying this, as if you are destroying the sixth pillar of the first five fundamentals of living, and this sixth is the common human brotherhood. No matter, devoid of all religious color, devoid of all, I mean, physical coloration, devoid of all ideological, political, all inclinations. There is only one true fact. I am a man, you are a man. My rights and your rights are the same. No matter the color, the diversity, the beauty of diversity is translated in the unity of our diversity. So this is what I can add to what my brother has.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Hamme. That is what you call a big shake-up as well in this subject. Sheikh Muhammad, my second question to you. You start the base. He has shaken it up. But I have another question. After all this, we see all these pictures. These are what you call the natural layout, what you two mentioned. This is what we call natural order. This is what we have been given to when we came here. But why we tend to have some very crazy, diluted minds who just goes and really go in the rampage? Anybody comes to their side, you are just being killed like a cockroach. Where does this come from?
Well, actually, this one is lack of understanding the deen. This is the first thing, because we did mention the taqwa.
Okay.
And one cannot fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we all know, even the battles, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered his people, his companions, not to kill women. Not so. And also not to cut down trees. So it means they can only fight those whom you know are
fighting you.
Those are whom you know are carrying ammunition.
Weapons.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just kill children, kill the elderly, kill the women, and then destroy trees. As we are seeing now in many countries, the innocent people are killed. The innocent people are killed.
Don't even know why they are killed.
See, things are looted. And then, even the infrastructure.
What is built, yes, for centuries,
demolished.
Have been demolished.
Demolished. So this one is against the teachings of the Sharia. Sharia didn't preach that.
Okay.
It's against the teachings of the Sharia. So, this is because they don't understand what the Sharia says about all these things. And another factor, possibly why some of them are doing that, not only that lack the knowledge,
okay,
and they lack the fearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also the sincerity is lacking.
Okay.
Sincerity, because instead of putting the national interest in front, some of them will end up putting the self interest in front. Just like in the case of Battle of Uhud, for example. We know the Prophet stationed 50 men by Mount Uhud. And he asked them not to move from there.
In that point.
And from that point.
Okay.
They are not the only people part of the army. There are others.
Okay.
But they were stationed not to leave that area. You understand? But because when they look at all the people and they look at the Ghanaim, what is being
the war booty,
they rush. They forgot that they are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Not
they
for
forgot
that
about sincerity. They now started thinking about worldly affairs. And now, that is to say, they are putting their own interest
before
in front of the general interest.
Okay.
And they left these positions they were asked to station at. And then they were defeated. This is because they didn't follow the instruction of their commander Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Okay.
So it means they following the instruction, they disobey.
Okay.
See, following the instruction is very, very important.
Okay.
So that's why we say, if the people know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would even abstain from so many things that are
been happening
things
today.
That are haram. Because some of them will end up killing people just like that because they don't know the deen. That's one. And then they take anything that is haram, drugs,
okay,
any form of intoxicant, and then end up doing anything. They can even kill their mothers. They can even enjoy their mothers. They can do it because it's umul khaba'is.
Okay.
You see, so this because there's the knowledge of the deen. So there will be no security without the knowledge of this deen. And when the knowledge of the deen is there too, people must do that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all sincerity. And people should do it also perfectly. This is what the Ihsan, the charity, is saying. You do things as if you see Allah in front of you. Though you don't see Him, but He sees you wherever you are.
Okay.
So if you have that
feeling,
you will always do jobs or whatever you do that accurately.
Okay.
It could be this person, this security man could be at the border. Not so.
Nobody seeing him.
Yes, nobody. It's Allah is seeing him wherever he is. Not so.
That's right.
So the commander or those people, even in any peacekeeping or whatever, this is all part of security we are talking about generally.
It is.
You see, the fearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we look at other countries wherein there are a lot of problems, rebellions, for example, people were sent there. To
contain them.
Yes. They were sent there in order to for security
to keep
reason.
Them. Okay.
But it generated a lot of evil in some areas.
It is. Yes.
It becomes as if they are there not for security, but they were there for other interests.
Creating more
behind money.
Yes.
In search of money.
Well.
They end up
corrupting
following
society.
Or corrupting society, dismantling other families.
Structures, yes.
See, following, committing like zina, for example.
Fornication, of course.
Fornication, ending up with a lot. So these things diverted their attention. This is because they lack the knowledge of the deen. They lack the knowledge of the deen. But had it been the people whom you know the knowledge, know disdain, I've just given an example of the Pakistanis who went to Liberia, part of the ECOMOC, for example. I went there
as a peacekeeper.
So when I asked the brothers in my visit, the, my Dawa visit, they were explaining to me how the aftermath of all these things and how some of these brothers, the Muslims who were part of this UN
peacekeeping,
Pakistanis, and how even they told me their head, the commander, when it is time for prayers, he go to the mosque.
Allahu Akbar.
He perform all his prayers in the mosque. And they come to the mosque. And even up to the time I went there, I used to see some of them there in, during the Friday prayer.
Allahu Akbar.
The idea for peace mission. But they know that
Allah, what
their relation between them and Allah should not be breaker.
But how far see, they are from the Pakistan. See,
so that's why I say it is important for people to know the religion. Otherwise, the peace will not prevail. Because you will end up, you yourself, sent there to keep security, you end up damaging it.
Subhanallah.
This is because when you kill people innocently, then you are not there for peace.
No.
And when you follow people's women, divert them from their husbands, so it means that's not what they call security.
Peacekeeping, no.
You see? Because we all know that person who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him, seeking his permission to go and commit zina.
Yes.
Do we address him? Say, do you like that for your sister? Do you like that for your mother? Do you like that for your aunt? All along the man will say, no, no, no. He say, okay, this is the way. People don't like that one. Also, the zina for their mothers. They don't like
so
zina
many
for
you are
sisters.
Doing to the other people.
See, they don't like zina for their for sister. Their aunts. They don't like. See, at the end, the man, alhamdulillah, he accepted. You see? So, by not committing these sins, it means it's peace. But when the person who is serving, for example, a state, or is serving the ummah, does not know anything in the Sharia, he will end up creating problems.
Okay.
He will end up spoiling the peace.
Instead of...
You see? So... That's why we say it is very, very important
for any person,
any security person,
should know the deen.
Otherwise, you can't serve the people properly. Otherwise, you will do all your work without any reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, so that's why we say the history, up to this day, we have a lot of examples. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was mindful. When he came to Medina, he first of all, what he did was to promote the brotherhood between the poor people, that those who came from Mecca, the Muhajirin, which we can call in our own days nowadays possibly the refugees, for example. You see?
Okay.
So that the layman will understand. You see? But the cause of their own leaving, leaving Mecca to Medina, is not like the case of the refugees as we know now. You understand? But those in Medina are living there and they are part of the Aus and the Khazraj tribe, clans. But he promote brotherhood
between them.
Yes.
For the security.
So this all because of security. Otherwise, there will be no security.
So we are not a fraction between.
Yes. So that those in Medina will know that these people are from Mecca and they are their brothers. Those from Medina, Mecca will also know that these people are here in Medina, but they are all brothers. Because they are all with the same word. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Rasulullah. So that's why we say, we always emphasize the importance of knowing the deen.
First.
So it means for every security person, he need to know something about the deen.
Okay.
So that at the end of all what he is doing, he is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why sometimes when I hear through the news how some people from our country, for example, are sent somewhere or peacekeepers in Sudan, Darfur, and other areas, and what people say about them because of the
money,
integrity, and
their behavior.
Mm-hmm. So maybe the deen
was reflecting
also a role, playing a role in that action. Because if the person is without the deen, he will not behave well, my dear. For sure, he will not behave well.
That's right.
So they will never be commended except because of that deen.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know the deen, or at least you are living with people who know the deen,
mm-hmm.
you have a background of this deen,
mm-hmm.
surely wherever you go, you will practice
that deen.
You practice it. So you know that you are there
mm-hmm.
to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are there to serve your state.
Mm-hmm.
You are there as an ambassador.
For the
whatever you do
mm-hmm.
will tell on your country.
Not so? Yes.
So that's why we say the security men,
mm-hmm.
whether in uniform or not,
mm-hmm.
must know
the deen. First.
Must know the deen. And mm-hmm. even read history
mm-hmm.
of security
mm-hmm.
in the tarikh.
Okay.
So that they'll be able to know mm-hmm. much.
What was happening.
Yes,
there.
What was happening. This will also help.
Mm-hmm.
I know they are getting something like that.
The conduct of the security men then.
But without this security, without this knowledge,
mm-hmm.
there will be no security. Both security will be absent. As Sheikh Jed mentioned,
mm-hmm.
the security between you and Allah will be absent. And the other security between you and the others will be absent.
So when this first one got broken,
yes.
you can't fix anyone.
No, the other one is automatically broken. You see, so that's why
okay.
this is the security.
Okay.
See, Allah be dhikri lahi tatma'innul qulub.
So the man should be rest at rest first.
So that cannot happen except with fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that you are the sole creator.
Okay.
He is the sole creator, and then you accept what you ask to do.
You
forbid what you ask to leave,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the first security.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see he did mention the Islam and the Iman.
Mm-hmm.
When Islam is only mentioned without the Iman, it means both. It means it embraces both the Iman and mm-hmm. the Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But when they are both mentioned in one verse
mm-hmm.
or in one hadith,
mm-hmm.
each one will have a different meaning automatically. That's why the hadith of Jibril,
mm-hmm.
hadith Jibril Tawil,
mm-hmm.
when Prophet
yes.
when
yes.
when Jibril mm-hmm. alayhi salam came salam. In the form of a man
mm-hmm.
with exceedingly white cloth,
yes,
exceedingly black hair,
yes,
no sign to say that he has traveled from Basse
mm-hmm.
or he's coming from
Long
Farafene,
Vista, no.
or he's coming from Soma.
Yes. There's
nothing like that.
Okay,
you see, but these Sahabas, they don't know him. The companions, they don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came, he will ask three questions or four.
Mm-hmm.
And Islam was the first question.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked Iman. So here comes the difference between the
different,
two.
Different, yes. Because otherwise he will not repeat himself twice.
You see. But when only one is mentioned,
mm-hmm.
it means both the Iman and the Islam. And when Iman is only mentioned, it's both are in.
Mm-hmm.
But when both of them are mentioned, each of them will take
different connotation.
One. Yes.
Okay.
So this is the deen.
Mm-hmm.
For everything in life,
mm-hmm.
because Islam we say is a complete way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you do at home,
mm-hmm.
the street, the war battle,
mm-hmm.
wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
wherever you are sent,
mm-hmm.
you are there, and you are guided by the Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fear Allah wherever you are. That's mm-hmm. what the hadith of the Prophet said.
Mm-hmm.
Ittaqillah haythuma kunta.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are, you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ta'ala.
You do things as if you have seen Allah in front of you, though you don't see Him, but He sees you wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we emphasize
mm-hmm.
the knowledge of the deen
mm-hmm.
for every person.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the security men, but for every person.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I know mm-hmm. the knowledge of the deen and mm-hmm. I know the what we call the drugs
mm-hmm.
are prohibited in Islam,
mm-hmm.
I will not accept it.
No.
I will not accept any person to bring that into my own compound.
Mm-hmm.
And if I see it, I will report it to the authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know the deen. But if I don't know,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, I just look at my own interest.
Money only
at that little
comes
money
to mind,
I
yes.
generate.
Mm-hmm.
And that money also is haram because I generated from something that is haram.
Mm-hmm.
It's also haram.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll just keep it going.
And then that creates insecurity
you see?
Now.
You see? So that's why it is very, very, that's where we are all involved in the security.
So that comes to the point you make, what is everyone's business?
Of everyone's business. It becomes everyone's business.
Okay.
Otherwise, it will not work. Exactly. Because at home, there are so many things running at home. It could be between the landlord and the tenants. Not so.
That's right.
So if I am not doing my own
side
job, I'm not taking my own part, or the landlord is not taking his own part,
it will not work. It will not work.
It will not work.
It will be break of peace.
You see,
it is, yes.
So that's why sometimes when people say, or you see some people say, ah, this belt, they say fasten your seat belt. If you don't fasten your seat belt, you are going to pay so amount. Is that belt seat belt for the security man, or is for who? It's for yourself.
Allah.
It's for yourself, not so. So wherever you are, if you know that this security belt, this seat belt is for you, you fix it. But if you think, this seat belt is for Mr. X or the police or whosoever, then because you are not seeing him at that place, maybe you are far or somewhere, you can't fix it.
You know, Sheikh Muhammad,
because you cannot fix it.
You make it a very interesting point. In the West, a passenger who is responsible for putting this belt, and then the passenger will be fined for it. But interesting here, I begin to understand from your statement now why in this country the authority make a driver to be responsible for that belt in order to develop our good attitude. The driver will immediately tell you, put it on, because he get fined for it.
As well as the passenger himself now is fined.
Fined, yes. Yeah.
So that's my brother. In fact, I will not allow you just to ask any question. I want to just buttress and reinforce my brother's
Yes, but I will ask when you combine it there.
Okay, I will just ask my brother's, I'll buttress my brother's point, because really it contains lot of important points. In fact, I mean, starting from the
beginning,
the inception of the discussion. You know, when he said the five major
pillars,
fundamental requirements of social living, I gave an example of the generations that were destroyed. Let's count them, try to just give a very precise description. You see, one, when Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, the crime committed by his people were social segregation. One.
Social segregation.
Okay. Number two, when Hud people were sent, there was called a social bullying. You bully, the powerful will bully the weak.
Okay.
When Hud was sent, when Salah was sent, there was an absence of human sympathy
to
an
each
animal
other.
Yeah, even an animal was unjustly wounded, injured, and it was killed deliberately. Lut's people came, there was that insult. In fact, it's the worst of all crimes, because the Quran says
has never been
mu'tafikat to ahwa. They are the most despised. They are the most fallen people of all people.
And then he said they have committed something
exactly.
Which had never
in fact,
committed before.
Abomination never committed before. There was no predecessor.
Yes.
There was no precedent. There was that insult to humanity. There was that break on the continuation of the reproduction of humanity. So this is why if somebody today is telling me, well, just trying to justify evil as good, well, it's a strange thing. It's so amazing. It's so much overwhelming. The human mind can never contain it. When we come to Moses and Pharaoh, that was the crime of political dictatorship. When we come to the common humanity, is what we witnessed or we read or we heard about Nazi, Second World War, Hitler in Europe. We have Mussolini in Italy.
Yes.
We have apartheid in South Africa. We have Zionism in Palestine. This is the destruction. This is the insult, the violation of the spirit of common human brotherhood. Let me come to my brother's point.
Point, okay.
You see, Mr. Dabo, it's very interesting. Well, I'm not a priest singer, but my brother is thinking very loud.
Very
well,
deep.
I think sometimes he has some reservation to express very, very clear. You see, the Quran says, "Inna al-ladhina amanu, wal-ladhina hadu, wal-nasara, was-sabi'in." The Quran says again, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتِ النَّصَارَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ لَيْسَتُ
الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ
كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٍ فِي النَّارِ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا.
That's very true.
So these are just things that we are experiencing, seeing. These are creating havoc on our minds, before our flesh and our bodies. We will be witnessing, I mean, what is called Aqua Haram to Zuko Haram. But now we are seeing Boko Haram.
Yes.
Aqua Haram is not yet, but even Zuko Haram is coming.
Yes, Zuko Haram is on, because you know what? We are told.
No, Zuko Haram will come. That is zoology. Animals will become our so-called preachers. Because it's what my brother said. This is what I say, the Zuko Harams.
Okay.
When an animal becomes a preacher, then you are dead. He's a beast. He has the bestiality to kill. He is a beast. He has the bestiality to kill, to destroy everything beautiful. We are summoned to call people to the righteous cause of Allah.
Kuntum khayra ummah,
to kill people. He said it.
Kuntum
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never even allowed. This is the principle of warfare in Islam. Even cutting a grass is forbidden, except for tactical, practical, military reasons. You understand what I mean? So here my brother is trying to voice everything out. Ignorance. You see, my brother is sad. It's a tragedy. And sometimes it's better to die, or sometimes to hear these things before seeing them. You know why? We are witnessing the expression of ignorance, of poverty, of desperation, in a form that is unprecedented. All the Boko Harams, all the so-called groups names you are hearing, all the devil, the Yajuj and the Majuj, that are in the making, that are imagined, that are almost on the platform, all these are expressions of ignorance, a deep-seated ignorance. In fact, I would rather call it abysmal, bottomless ignorance.
This deen,
even if you know, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ is enough. Because if this قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ
was understood,
is properly understood and translated into action in your life, it's finished. قُلْ, you will go preaching and tell people Allah is one. But what is the name of that deity? Allah. And what is his attributes? One. If Allah is one, I the preacher, I am one, then I have no right to say Allah is two. And if I am one, I am equal to any other person. No other person should consider me as a lord. No slavery, no injustice. Whatever I have was given to me by that Allah. Then I have to share it with the other man. And whenever I want to collect myself, become a social being, I have to visit a site called Kaaba, where I meet millions of my
fellow
beings. Then I feel I belong to a community.
You
the live. Community feels I am a member of them.
Community.
We live in peace, harmony, tranquility, solace, power, authority, and at the end of the day, when we die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward. This is what my brother is trying to point out. But I think my brother sometimes, you know, they say, as we say, old cows don't just abuse the grass. It's a fuller man. Old cows don't abuse the grass. Because they know one day there will be a shortage of grass.
Then you can
see,
come back
our
to
the problem, to put it short, let me tell you. When you ask a lunatic, an idiot, to accompany you to answer the call of nature in the bush, that idiot will go and stand over
you. I remember this proverb.
You
understand
what I mean?
Yes.
If you ask the idiot, please just move
a little bit. You are getting too close to me. Yes.
The idiot will just go to the compound and leave you alone in the
and then you want him as a
this
compound.
This is our problem, my brother. So my brother is telling everybody out there, stop whatever you are doing in terms of unnecessary, unprogressive argumentation. I mean, just don't pull on any cloth. Put on the cloth of Islam and the Sunnah, and just go into studying, into reading, into questioning, into interrogating, all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhina jahadu fina lanahdiyannahum subulana. Sadaqallahu
alazim. I think Sheikh Muhammad we almost run out of the time. But tonight as well, it's another night. As I always say, I must confess, I really am learning. I'm in the Open University here. And then I'm hoping the greater listeners, they too are in the Open University. We are on the journey. I did tell the greater listeners, we will not stop. We will not leave any stone unturned, because this is where we should succeed before we meet in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we leave any stone, we will reach to Allah. So he say, but that corner, why what do you not do in that one? Then Sheikh Hamme, you did mention, before I give Sheikh Muhammad a final word, you did mention human right. You know, I talk about, I brought tonight as a subject of what do we understood according to the Islam, what is the security, which I did have today, the answer to that. What was the security? But next week, I'm promising, by Allah willing, how did Islam understand human right?
Inshallah.
Because human right is one of the most confusing word in the universe today. Because somebody tell me, I must marry to someone like me. That is the human right. Human right is confusion. We need to restore back what is the human right. Because the one who have a right to decide what our rights are, the one who brought us here, the one who make us and make everything. Sheikh Muhammad, before we close down, your final word, what Sheikh Hamid did say?
Well, it is important that, as he said, we go back to our religion. We will get all that we need.
Mm-hmm.
See, because without the religion, we will not be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And to anything that we do, mm-hmm. we have to do with knowledge.
Death.
You see, when man is sent on earth,
mm-hmm.
as a khalifa, as a successor,
mm-hmm.
it's, in order, it's with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in order to make, not to spoil.
Mm-hmm.
We are not sent down
to destroy.
Okay. So if there is no peace, then we have destroyed then.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no peace, then we have not do what we are sent for.
I remember the ayah say, wala tufsidu fil ardi
ba'da islahiha.
So meaning the earth was fixed before we come. Okay.
So you see, so that's why we say being a successor, you mean somebody who knows the deen and somebody who practices the deen,
mm-hmm.
somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
mm-hmm.
and is somebody who make things better
mm-hmm.
for himself and for others,
mm-hmm.
his relation between him and Allah,
mm-hmm.
and his relation between him and the others.
Mm-hmm.
By that,
mm-hmm.
there will be security.
It is.
And the security
mm-hmm.
is in line with being a successor
mm-hmm.
on earth.
Okay.
Inshallah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Muhammad, for that. Sheikh Hamme, quick.
Well, okay. Well, just to round up everything, actually,
okay.
what my brother said.
See.
You know, every time, my brother, I'm just trying to beautify the size of the perimeters of my brother's boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, one thing is very interesting here.
Mm-hmm.
It is high time
mm-hmm.
our venerable, highly erudite
mm-hmm.
African intellectuals
yes.
on both sides of the spectrum
mm-hmm.
should try and revise themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Revise whatever in your memory card
mm-hmm.
that is the mind
mm-hmm.
or the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Try to vomit it out,
mm-hmm.
regurgitate it,
mm-hmm.
bring it out
mm-hmm.
and see the poisons that are in it. You take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be independent,
mm-hmm.
but your independence is interdependent
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to the extent that truth is established
mm-hmm.
and supported.
Mm-hmm.
And besides,
mm-hmm.
before you just come teaching me, because rights are not taught and declared in Islam.
No.
Rights are snatched and given.
Mm-hmm.
They are snatched, they are already there.
Mm-hmm.
They are something fixed and there.
Okay.
You don't give it to me. I take it by force. Either it is given to me
okay.
without any force,
no.
or I resort to force and take it from you.
So what do you say? No monopoly.
You know, there is no monopoly. There is no lawyer to come and declare to me that this is human right. But before all that, define for me, what do you mean humanity? because I know there is a difference between Western humanity
and
African humanity and American humanity. My humanity is my Africanity. My Africanity is my values. My values is what is imposed upon me by the reality of my existence in the African milieu, in the African environment. And it is that what I'm going to uphold. And it is imposed upon me by my deen called Islam.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Hamme. Yeah. I can see, by Allah willing, if we still alive, we are alive, next week too will be interesting. Because we need to deal with these things.
Well, let me add something, because, you know, they're very good. They are very good sophists.
Okay.
What I mean sophists, I mean they are very good, they're good at arguments.
Yes.
Well, somebody would say, look, you people like talking so much.
Yes.
But what have you produced, at least
out of this talking? After
Yeah, let me tell him one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Prophet Muhammad before he was asked to go and wage, in fact, he was never asked to wage a war.
But go
a
and
war was waged
upon him
as a necessity to defend himself and his people and his system.
Mm-hmm.
But before all that, the action he was asked to read.
First.
And in the process of talking, I am realizing my reality. I am feeling that I'm existing.
Yes.
Because I'm talking, I'm giving out ideas that are contributory, if positively accepted, in the forward progression of man and society.
Yes. Thank you very much. That is a very loud and clear. I don't think anyone will accuse to say you are talking.
No, they like it.
You know, this talking,
this book readers, this book reading intellectuals, they like to argue with people.
Yes,
but we are ready for them.
This talking, Sheikh Hamme has really bring immensely. As Sheikh Muhammad mentioned, Gambians soldiers will go to the other country. They will have a great name. Why? I've been challenging. I was in the record on the many medias. I says we keep always saying we are peaceful, but did we ever ask ourselves a question? What make us peaceful? Next week we will add that to the human right. In the greater listeners, we are saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.